Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. Before we join Pastor Dave in today's study, we would like to take a moment and invite you to join us this Easter. Our Good Friday service will be Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Easter Sunday service will be April 21st at the Spencerport High School Performing Arts Center. The service will begin at 10 a.m. Please come and join us as we celebrate Jesus this Easter. Now let's join Pastor Dave as he continues through the book of Matthew, picking up in chapter 1, verse 18, with a message entitled, Joy to the World.
Okay, well, if you have a Bible with you this morning, you can open up to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Our verses of study this morning are verses 18 through 25. I've entitled this message, Joy to the World. If you don't have a Bible, go ahead, raise your hand. Our ushers would love to bring you one at your seat. Go ahead, keep your hand up for a minute there, and they'll find you and they'll bring you one so that you can follow along. There's going to be two places of reading that we begin from this morning, Matthew 1:18, and then in just a moment after we're done, we're going to hop over to Luke chapter 1. So if you want, you can get a head start, put a finger there, a bookmark there. We're going to begin in Matthew 1, then we'll hop over to Luke chapter 1. And we'll read these accounts together so that we can get a better picture, a fuller picture of two individuals that I'm sure you've heard of before, Joseph and Mary. You're familiar, right? Joseph and Mary, pretty prominent figures in human history. We'll look at that together here this morning. Here we begin in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Please follow with your eyes as I read out loud our message we've entitled, Joy to the World. Matthew 1 verse 18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, please notice, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Those are very important words. Notice again, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19, Then Joseph, her husband, I love this scripture's commentary, being a just man. We don't hear anything from Joseph's mouth in scripture specifically, but man, what an example of faith he is to us. A man who was just, a righteous man, a man who observed to do the word of God. We'll see that this morning. And he was not willing to make her a public example. End of verse 19. He was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, verse 20, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he said, Joseph, you son of David, you're royalty. You're in the lineage of a king. He says, don't forget who you are and don't fear to take unto you Mary your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Is of the Holy Ghost. Is of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Reading on here in verse 21, here's the deal, he says to Joseph, she, your wife, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, church, say it with me, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what he does. His name, Jesus, tells us what he does. He's the Savior of the world. Now, all this was done, and I told you last week that Matthew's favorite phrase in his gospel is fulfillment. To show the reader that the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Notice what it says here. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, middle of verse 22, which was spoken of the prophet, speaking of the Lord some 700 years before his birth. Behold, and you know this verse, it's on your Christmas cards, Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall bear with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That's who he is. Jesus is what he is. Emmanuel is who he is. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. I bet he did. You have a dream or you have a vision. You get woke up in the middle of the night and an angel speaks to you. You do what the angel says, right? Joseph wakes up, heart pounding, no doubt. And he does exactly as the angel Lord told him to do. And he took Mary unto him as his wife. And please, Bible students, notice this is why I passed them out. Because this will be difficult for some of you. Look what the Bible says, not what I say. Look what the Bible says, verse 25. And Joseph knew her not. Joseph knew her not till. That's a very important word. He knew her not till. There is no perpetual virginity for Mary. There's a doctrine out there that is heresy. That's not true. She goes on to have other children, at least 4 other boys and at least 2 girls. Jesus grew up at least, minimally speaking, with 6 other children in his home. It was a full house there, and they were his half-brothers and sisters. There is no perpetual virginity. Mary didn't have sex till after Jesus was born. I'm going to hit that in just a minute. It's important, very important. She knew not Joseph till she brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name, you can say it with me, Jesus. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning our reading in verse 26. And in the 6th month, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the 6th month, that's speaking of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the older cousin of Jesus. Elizabeth is first cousins with Mary. Everybody with me? Elizabeth, we're told in verse 7, is well stricken in years. She's 70, 80, maybe even older in years. That's how old she is. Mary, at the youngest, is 12. At the oldest, is 20. I lean towards the early teens. I have found her to be as young as 12 and as old as 20, and I'll explain why in just a moment. If she has a first cousin that's 70, 80, and she's a teenage girl, we'll call her that to be in the happy median. If that be the case, then that tells you that Mary was a oops baby, right? Who came later in life. She's that much younger than her first cousin, right? I mean, that makes sense. Elizabeth is like a mother to her. Elizabeth miraculously gets pregnant with John the Baptist. She's 6 months into her pregnancy. And Gabriel was sent from God, middle of verse 26, unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, if you remember, when we studied the Gospel of John, when you were with us, you remember that there was that question asked there by Nathanael to Philip, when Philip said, "We found the Messiah. Can any good thing come from Nazareth?" Nazareth was a small town filled with drunkards, filled with brawlers. It was a Galilean area of Israel where those from Judea would totally reject and look down upon those who came from that region. This is where Mary, the mother of Jesus, is from. You and I would say trash lives there. I mean, that's how Israel views Nazareth. It's just a place of trash. It's disgusting. It's a slum. It's a place of lowliness. I'm not going to use an example. I did that last week, and some people were from there, so we're not going to do that this week. Okay, you get to pick what you want to liken that to in the city of Rochester. I so badly want to throw some streets out there, but I won't. We'll leave it at that. A small town, a trashy town, income-wise, lower income, minimal income. Okay, this is where the mother of Jesus Christ is from. This is one of the many reasons why I'm so drawn to Jesus. Just the family he chose to be born into. The lowliness, the meekness, the humility that's demonstrated in his birth. Phenomenal. But we go on to read here this, because I'm not even supposed to be expounding yet. I'm supposed to be reading text. But anyways, it says that the angel Gabriel comes to a virgin, very important, a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her in verse 28, and he said, "Hail, you are highly favored of the Lord." Listen, he is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. Listen, please understand, he doesn't say you are blessed above woman. He says you are blessed among woman. Mary is not the co-redemptionist of Jesus Christ. Mary is not supposed to be elevated to the place of Jesus Christ. Mary is not the co-mediator with Jesus Christ. Paul said to Timothy that there is one mediator that stands between men and God, and it is alone Jesus Christ, not Mary too. Very important that we understand that. She's not the co-redemptionist. Jesus said in John 14:6, I encounter distinction to all others and the way. I encounter distinction to all others and the truth. And I encounter distinction to all others and the life. No man has ever come, no man is coming, and no man will ever come to the Father except through me, not me and my mom. Very important to understand that this morning. Mary is highly favored, the Lord, but the only other time that phrase is used in Scripture is in Ephesians 1:6, when Paul says of you and I as saints today that we are highly favored, Lord, as we've been called by grace into the marvelous kingdom of light. So we're highly favored of the Lord too because Jesus called us and saved us. Same as Mary. The only other time that phrase is used in Scripture. Ephesians 1:6, Bible students. You are highly favored of the Lord. He's with thee. You're chosen. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I think that's interesting. Not at the fact that an angel appeared to her or was before her, but she's troubled at what he said. And it says here in the middle of verse 29, she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her in verse 30, Mary, don't be afraid. For you have found favor with God. You're unknown by men, but you're known by heaven. And behold, you shall conceive in the womb, and you shall bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary in verse 34 unto the angel, this is what maybe you're asking. So you're not alone. Mary wants to know the same thing. How can this be? I've never had sex before. That's what she says. I've never known a man. I've never been intimate. I'm a virgin, a literal virgin. Some people try to take this text and say she wasn't a virgin. No, no, no. The grammar's clear. She was a virgin. She was a chaste, godly young woman. Her Magnifica is later on in this portion of the scripture here when she celebrates with Elizabeth and she goes to her house pregnant after she accepts his word from the Lord. All that flows from her mouth is the word of God. Scriptures from Isaiah, scriptures from the Psalms, scriptures from Samuel. She spits scripture out through songs. Like many of us know scripture, we know it through songs, we know it through melody. This was a woman of God, a woman of the word of God. This was a woman who loved God. I mean, this was a woman who had no access to scripture like you and I have, and yet knew the word of God probably better than most of us do. She was a chaste virgin. She was an upright, holy daughter of God, chosen by God to bring the Savior of Jesus Christ into the world. This is the most crazy, beautiful thing ever. She says, how can this be, though? I've never been with a man. How am I going to have a son? Still sort of confused. And it goes on to say this here. The angel answers in verse 35, and he says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You're going to bring the Creator into creation. You're going to bring the one who has no beginning into being. This is not the origin of Jesus. Jesus is from eternity past. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Without him was nothing made that was made. Everything that we see was made by Jesus, the Creator, from eternity past. This is called cosmosis. This is called Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God himself, seeing a major dilemma in human history, sin, and saying, I've got to do something about this. Only I can. I've got to come into the world and be born of a woman so that I can be a human to save humans. But I can't be born of a man because then I am inheriting sin, then I'm having sin nature. So I have to be conceived of the Spirit of God through a woman, so I'm the God-man. I'm 100% God and I'm 100% man. I'm fully God, fully man. So that as a man, I can be touched with everything that man is touched with except sin. So that I can die for their sin. But I'm the sinless one. Only a sinless one can die for sinners. So it had to be that the Holy Spirit did this thing and put this seed, this baby, in the womb of Mary. There is no father. The only father to Jesus is the Heavenly Father. This is beautiful and it makes sense. This is essential. I won't compromise this truth with you. I will not debate this truth with you. The scripture is clear. This is a virgin birth. And it is an impregnation of the Holy Spirit of God upon this young girl who loved the Lord. Very important. It's essential because if Jesus was not born of the Holy Spirit through Mary, and he's just another man, he can't die for our sins. His death didn't work. But because he's God and he was conceived of God through this miraculous implanting of him in the womb of Mary, well, then he can be the God-man who died for the sins of the world. It's essential. It's essential to your faith, Christian. If the virgin birth is essential to our faith. So it goes on to say here, the angel answers, says, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. He's going to overshadow thee. And also the holy thing which shall be born, end of verse 35, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she's also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Don't you love Mary? Lord, I'll accept this. Lord, I'll take it. This is from you, God. Thank you for the favor, Lord. You are an awesome Lord. Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask you now to help us understand these truths. We ask you to speak through these two texts, Lord, as we seek to sort of break them up and expound on them. Lord, just minister to our hearts, settle these rich golden nuggets deep in our souls, Lord, and minister to us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have these two accounts collaboratively, the way that I presented them to you this morning, to give you a better picture, give you a better understanding of this young couple who's his spouse, the scripture says. Being his spouse in this culture is like an in-between phase of our marriage and engagement. It's more than our engagement, but it's not as much as our marriage. However, they were legally bound at this point. You got to understand that. I want to try to help you understand the scene here, the story here, so that you could appreciate these characters and ultimately their son, Jesus Christ. We'll begin here with this. You got a couple who's a spouse. Mary, we'll call her 14 this morning, just to find sort of a balance in between what scholars suggest that she was in age. 14 years old, young lady, espoused to her husband, as the scripture calls it, Joseph, which means this, they had already been legally bound together as husband and wife. There had already been a public service of union with them where others came and saw it and beheld it. They were to enter into this period for about a year. It's more than an engagement. It would take divorce papers for them to separate from each other. I mean, they were together. However, there was no consummation of the marriage yet. There was a commitment, there was a covenant, but they have not consummated it yet. In fact, there was such a holiness, there was such an uprightness that you and I find strange in today's culture that they wouldn't even be alone together without being chaperoned. I mean, that's how much they maintain their integrity in these days as children of God in this culture. They had no alone time. There was no living together. There was none of those things. They kept their distance. And during that year of being espoused to one another, the man would build an addition on his father's house to ready the place for them to go and to live when they did get married and when they did consummate the union between them, which is beautiful because you should, as a Bible student, be thinking of what Jesus said in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He, our bridegroom, has gone to prepare a place, and he's coming again. And we don't know when he's coming, do we? But we know he's coming. So it was then for those who were espoused. The bridegroom would go and prepare the addition and ready the home to go get his bride. But the bride didn't know exactly when the groom was going to come. He would give her a 24-hour time period, and she had to be ready. Could you imagine, ladies? She had to be ready throughout that whole 24-hour time period so that when that trumpet would sound by the bridegroom and his groomsmen, they would announce, behold, your groomsman is here, or your groom is here. She'd have to be ready to go with him to the father's house, the addition, to consummate the marriage. And then it would lead into a seven-day feast. This was a joyous time. This was a wonderful time. This was a time that young girls looked forward to all of their, you know, earlier years of having their bridegroom come and sweep her off her feet and take her to the father's house and then celebrate with friends and family for a week long, just rejoicing in their union, something that had been planned since they were children. Joseph and Joseph's parents, no doubt, were friends with Mary and Mary's parents, and there was this when they were little, our son should marry your daughter should marry our son. There was this picking out of the children, and they would couple them together at a young age. She knew for years, I'm going to be Joseph's bride, and I can't wait to go and get my gown, and I can't wait to have all my ladies over the house for that 24-hour time period and all the bridesmaids so that we can get ready, and we're just going to celebrate and rejoice and wait for that trumpet to sound and the guys to come get us. There'd be this expectation. They'd keep oil nearby to keep the lamps lit because And Casey came at night so that they could see the bridegroom, another symbolism and typology of what Jesus calls us to do, to keep our lamps lit. Because many times the bridegroom would come at night because the day began in the evening for them in this culture. And there was no way after waiting that long, he was waiting any longer. He'd come get her right as soon as night starts. He'd go take his bride and bring her home to the house. I like this flow so far. You go and take your wife into privacy and enjoy each other first, and then you celebrate for 7 days. There would be this waiting. There would be this expectation. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of this espousal, in the midst of this excitement, we're told back in Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she found that she was with child of the Holy Spirit. She's got two major problems there. One, she's got to tell Joseph she's pregnant. Two, she's got to tell Joseph she's pregnant with the Holy Spirit's baby. She's got to tell Joseph she was pregnant with the Holy Spirit's baby. You guys don't think that's funny, huh? Imagine if your wife came to you and said, I'm pregnant, and it's not your baby. And if she still had your ear at that point, if you didn't react yet, then she got you calming down enough to at least hear her say, don't worry, it's of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you'd be in a dilemma yourself here, okay? I don't know why you're all looking at me like this. This is very, very strange scenario here. This is very strange. She's got to go to Joseph, who's in the middle of building their home. He's a carpenter. We know that. Jesus is a carpenter, too. He's going to be one when he's born and raised and work with his father. Building a home, Joseph's in the middle of probably doing specialties to the home, man, rounding the corners of the house and putting 12-foot ceilings in instead of 8-foot ceilings in and making this thing. You know, I mean, it's not funny. This is true. He's a carpenter. He's probably doing things to specialize. Oh, Mary's going to love this, and wait till she sees how I build these window frames and this window seat for her here. And oh, Mary, all about Mary. I mean, he's about ready to marry her. Then all of a sudden she comes to the house and says, Joseph, we got to talk. Well, what is it, Mary? No, I'm in the middle of building this place, and we're not supposed to be alone, so you better hurry here. I mean, I don't want somebody to see us and think evil of us. Well, Joseph, that's the least of our concerns. I'm pregnant.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.